as a portrait of disgrace. My accuser was always waiting. Every time I kill the lines, he called out my verdict. I called out to Christ. He took my place on a cross at Calvary. He took my pain in his hands and his feet. Mercy or justice, God offered his son so the whole wide world could know the gift that keeps on giving, the only real hero. Mercy in his hands and his feet. Mercy or justice, heaven or hell, I took forgiveness. He took the nails. Mercy or justice, heaven or hell, I took forgiveness. He took the nails.
Why don't you tell me what happened?
I was with Jesus all day. So we get on a boat to cross the lake, and, you know, more boats come too. I guess they were all so caught up in following him that they didn't even see it coming.
See what coming?
That storm last night. I have never been on the lake in a storm like that. And there Jesus is, in the stern, laying down, oh, fast asleep. Oh, we woke him up. We asked him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?"
How did he answer?
He shouted at the storm, "Quiet, be still." And get this, just the wind just stopped, the lake completely flat.
How did that make you feel?
That part was awesome. Then he turned to us. He looked me right in the eye and he said,
"Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?"
So good to be here this morning. I want to say once again, we're so glad that you're with us today. And I look forward to meeting you if I didn't get to before church. But I'm excited today to start a new series entitled The Counselor. Now, if any of you have ever been to a counselor before, it could be a counselor at school, you know, where you're going to go to college. It could be financial. It could be marriage. It could be a lot of different things. I know personally I've never been to a licensed counselor, but there have been times in my life when I needed guidance, I needed direction, and God placed some great people along the way. And one time I remember specifically that really stood out to me, because something I think that I've recognized over the years is a person who is a good counselor, they know how to ask great questions. They're good at asking the question that gets you to think, okay, this is what's going on here, gets you to see something that maybe you didn't before. And I was in my first year of college and Bible school, and I was the guy who was trying to make everyone happy. I was the people pleaser. I was somewhat of a workaholic. I go on 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. You know, I made sure I had the best grades. I volunteered for everything. And one day, an upperclassman comes up to me. He said, "Andrew, I want to talk to you for a minute." It's like, okay. You know, I thought I had it all figured out. He asked me two questions. He said, "What are you trying to prove? And who are you trying to impress?" And I kind of thought about it for a second, and then he asked me another question. He said, "Is that why you're here?" He didn't say much else, and he walked off. And I began to think about those questions. Now, there's sometimes in life we find ourselves, we're doing stuff for the wrong reasons. You may have a different issue, and maybe someone's asked you something, and it really brought stuff to light. But something that's interesting as we get into this new series is we're going to find out something about Jesus. Now, you go read the book of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It gives a prophecy about the Messiah. It said, "His name shall be called Wonderful." What's another, the one right after that? Counselor. And this is something I want you to get here this morning. And what we're going to do in the next few weeks is dive into this, is that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He's someone that we can turn to. There's things He has placed in His Word that can speak to us in our time of need. In the Gospels, there are over 100 recorded questions that Jesus asked. A lot of times someone will come to Jesus with the problem, they'll ask Him a question. What does Jesus do? He turns around and asks them a question. He gets them to look at things a different way because He understands how to get to the heart of the man. So what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, we're going to look at different situations and how Jesus confronted them. Maybe like this disciple here that was being interviewed that faced a storm, Jesus asked him the question, "Why are you so afraid? Do you not have any faith? Do you still not have faith?" And next week we're going to be dealing with the subject. We're going to dive into maybe you're in a time of great need and you need a miracle in your life. Maybe you need God to turn something around. And we find a situation, and we're going to look at it next week, when Christ, when confronted with this problem, He asked a question. A simple question. We may think, well, you know, everyone should know this. But He asked, "Do you think I can do this?" Another time, another story we're going to look at is someone who was dealing with an ongoing challenge. In other words, it didn't last a week. It's been years. It's been difficult. It's been a lifestyle of difficulty. And Jesus comes up to that person. He asks them a question. He says, "Do you want to be made whole?" What would you say? Duh, right? We're also going to look at, in the coming weeks, maybe you're dealing with spiritual doubts. And we're going to address the question or look at a question that Christ asked to someone who was in that situation. But we're going to be going to the book of Mark chapter 4. If you'll go ahead and turn there with me in your Bibles, I believe we do have the verses up here today. If you read Mark chapter 4, you're going to find that Jesus is speaking to a great crowd. And He's doing it from a boat. Now that's pretty cool, right? Jesus is out there in a speedboat right there preaching off of it. That wasn't a speedboat, it was just a sailboat, okay? We ought to do that at some Sunday. Think that'd be really cool? Someone was telling me the other day, you know, the pastor of South Fork told him they got so many people, he'd preach from the roof. I'm not doing it this summer, that's for sure. Michael would say, you need to do that. I was like, yeah, maybe a boat's a better idea. We can try it. We can go to have church at the lake or something. But Jesus was preaching from a boat. But what we're about to find out is that his platform or his pulpit turns into an illustration that he uses to teach his disciples something. And starting in verse 5 is where we're going to read. It says, on the same day, when the evening had come, he said to them. So the same day he had just got through preaching to this great multitude. Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling up. It says, but he, this is Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. He had a mattress in the bottom of the boat, and Jesus was taking a nap. So if you don't think naps are spiritual, now you got your proof. Jesus took them. I should as well. It says, and they awoke him and said to him, notice this word, teacher. That'll be important later in the message. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Verse 39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It just calmed down all at once. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Or in other words, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I think it would have been exciting to be on that boat. I don't know if I want to be in the storm, but I'd like to see Jesus calm the sea. And something interesting to realize is, in this story, they're on the Sea of Galilee. Something about the Sea of Galilee is that it's surrounded by mountains. And so really, it's in a prime location for a storm to arise suddenly. You know, everything could be clear, then all of a sudden, you're hit by a massive storm. So, you know, it wasn't like they saw it coming and they went ahead and decided to cross anyways. When they got in the boat, you know, it was no big deal. But by the time they got out in the middle of the sea, the storm had come. And it's something interesting. These disciples are in the boat with Jesus. And he's with them, but yet they still go through the storm. It's something that I've noticed as believers. A lot of time we get this mindset that because I'm a Christian, I should never have to go through anything. That because I'm a believer in Christ and I've given my heart to Christ, then nothing bad's going to happen. But that's just not the case. Because Jesus could be in the boat and the storm could still hit. I think it's important for us to know that when we become followers of Christ, we're not entering into a playground. We're entering into a battlefield. There's a war that's going on, a spiritual warfare that's taking place as the enemy of our souls tries to take us out. There are tests, there are struggles. There are battles that go on in our lives. In our, you know, it could be a physical need. It could be a financial, emotional. There are different areas of our life where these attacks or these struggles or these storms may pop up in our life. We could be with Jesus and still be blindsided by a storm. We can, you know, cross over from a life of sin to following Christ and still experience the difficulty that life can bring. You know, life may be going great one day, kind of like the Sea of Galilee, and then all of a sudden, the storm hits. Now, everything's going great at work. Maybe you're in sales, and man, you had your best month ever, and then you get the layoff notice. It's like, what? I didn't see that coming. You know, everything was going great at home, and life was wonderful, and then you went to the doctor, and you got a report that wasn't what you wanted. You got blindsided by the storm. Maybe everything was going great, and then that teenager of yours started acting up, you know. You could have everything else going good, but if your kids are not where they need to be, it's hard, isn't it? the storm of life just suddenly can come up on you. Maybe, you know, you thought you finally got all your ducks in a row and all of a sudden, you know, everything's going to be great. I finally made this transition in life. Then all of a sudden something hits you. You know, sometimes it may be something that you cannot see. You may have everything lined up. You look at it and say, hey, everything should be good, but yet you cry yourself to sleep at night. There's a battle going on inside of you. There's a struggle. There's a storm that has hit your life. And the thing is, it's something I've seen that's interesting is oftentimes we look at someone else and we're jealous. I wish I had that house, you know. And they sure got it together. Their kids are perfect. Their marriage is great. You know, they got great jobs. And from the outside looking in, everything looks wonderful. But on the other side of that, you're thinking, yeah, my house may be great, but you don't know I'm about to lose it. You think my marriage is wonderful, but we're hanging on by a thread. There may be some of you here today that everybody else thinks everything is good with you, but you know the truth. A storm is going on in your life. You're being hit with things that you never expected, and it can be overwhelming. You may try to hide it. You may do a good job of it. I think church people are the best at hiding the storm. We don't want anyone to know that we're having a tough time. We don't want anyone to think that we go through difficulty because, man, they'll think I backslid. But I want to tell you something today. You can be right in the middle of the will of God and still go through difficulty. There's something you look at these disciples. They entered this storm, and I'm about to get to the points that I want to make here today, but Christ is the one who put them there. And we'll explain that more in just a minute. There's things that can just creep up on us all at once without us even knowing it was coming. So today, I want to leave you with two things to remember when you're in the middle of a storm. The first thing I think is important for us to remember when life kind of all of a sudden hits us hard is that you're in the storm with Jesus. You're in the storm with His presence. It says in Mark 4, 37 and 38, I'm going to read a different version than we read up here. It says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Sometimes we get in the middle of a storm and we begin to question God. God, where are you at? God, why are you letting me go through this? Why did you, I mean, don't you love me? Don't you care about me? I've been trying really hard. I quit that. I started doing this. Why did you let this happen to me, Jesus? Why do I have to face this? I mean, I'm trying my best, and I've already been through all that. Why do I have to? Where are you at, God? Why'd you allow this to happen? But I want you to understand something today that's very important for us to get, is having Jesus in the boat does not mean that it's not going to be rocked and the storm is not going to hit you, but it does mean it's not going to sink you. Being in a place where Jesus is with you, while He's in the boat with you, doesn't mean the storm will never come, but it does mean that He's going to be with you in the middle of your storm. It does mean that God will make a way for you and His strength will be perfect in your time of weakness. You know, it's something great to remember in the middle of the storm is though I don't understand where it came from, I don't know why it's happening, He is in the storm with me. Yes, I'm in the middle of it. It's tough, but Jesus is in the boat. He hasn't forgotten about me. Sometimes we may think it. We say, hey, you know, he doesn't care. The disciples said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? We're about to die here. What are you doing? We may think that God doesn't see and God doesn't know. But I want you to understand that no matter what you face, He is going to be with you and He is going to make a way for you. There's an interesting study I came across the other day. He said, elderly people who have something else living with them live longer. To explain this. You know, it could be a houseplant. He said it could be a dog. I don't know about cats. I don't know if that would be helpful or not. You know, it could be just anything living. It could be, like I said, from a plant to an animal to another person. You know, it could be that spouse that's deaf and can't hear you anymore. But the study was showed that those who have something living with them live longer. And you know, that's what he said, so you make sure you have the plan at home yourself, okay? You'll live longer. But there's something I was thinking about. You know, having something living in the house with you prolonged your life. It makes you enjoy life more. But imagine Jesus living with you. This is something I want you to get here today, is that, hey, there may be a lot of things not going for you, but Jesus is with you, and he longs to live inside of you. And when he is with you, you can make it through a lot of things. You can survive a lot of storms if you recognize that Jesus is in the boat with you. That there are things you can go through, and people can look at you and say, hey, how are you making it? They look at your situation and they say, man, if that was me, I'd given up a long time ago. I would be gone. You know, I couldn't survive it. And you can look at them and say, hey, I got someone living with me. His name is Jesus. There's somebody in my boat maybe you haven't met yet. Let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. I'm not doing this on my own, but he's with me and he's making a way for me. There's an old song that they used to sing and listen to all the time in the car. My dad, I loved this group. It was called Charles Johnson and the Revivers. Have you ever heard of Charles Johnson and the Revivers? Well, maybe you haven't. And he would sing this song. My Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roar. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. And what I want you to understand today, when you're in the middle of the storm, the very first thing to remember is that Jesus is in the middle of the storm with you. His presence is with you. The Word of God says, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's what I want you to get today. In the middle of your difficulty, in the time of great need, don't give up, but recognize that the Almighty God, the one who made the sea, is right there beside you. In the middle of your storm. The second thing I want you to remember in the middle of the storm is that not only is his presence with you in the storm, but he has a purpose for your storm. Now you're saying, Pastor, you tell me that God is the one who made me go through this? No, that's not what I'm telling you. I can't tell you whether he's the one who made it happen or he just allowed it to happen. But I will tell you this. He wants to use it for his glory and for your good. The scripture we find here, I think, is very interesting. We read in our text, you find that Jesus was the one who said, let's go over to the other side. It wasn't they just said, hey, let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side and see what's up over there. But Jesus said, hey, let's get in this boat. Let's go to the other side. And the reason was, you find reading in the later verses, is because there was a man on the other side, on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, who was in a bad place. He was sleeping in the tombs. He tried to kill himself. Men had tried to imprison him and try to get him some help, but he'd break the chains and escape every time. This was a madman, a crazy man, a man possessed by the devil. And Jesus got in that boat because he wanted to change that man's life. And so in this storm, we find that the disciples were not in the storm because they were out of the will of God, but they were right in the middle of doing what God had told them to do. Sometimes in life, you may get in a place of difficulty and the devil will come whisper to you and say, yeah, you know, it's because you're not doing what God wants you to do. And I tell you, sometimes we face stuff because we do stupid stuff. But I also want you to know there are times when we find ourselves in the middle of a storm, and it's not because we're out of God's will. We might be right where God wants us. We might be doing what God told us to do. We may be trying to be the dad that we need to be, trying to be a good employee, trying to live the way God has instructed us to live. We're doing everything. We're doing what Christ told us to do. He's the one that said, get in the boat and go over there. And I did it, and look where I'm at now. But understand, you could be right in the middle of the will of God and still face the storm of your life. I'm not going to be able to tell you today whether your storm is caused by God or allowed by God, but I want you to know he wants to use it for his glory. There's something in James 1, 2 through 4 that I think is a powerful portion of Scripture, and it's something that's hard for us to do, but it's important for us to do. James wrote this. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance or patience. And let patience or perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There was something that Christ wanted to accomplish in the life of his disciples that could not have been accomplished anywhere else but in the middle of the storm. There may be things that you go through that you don't understand, but if you will allow God to, He can do things in you in the middle of that storm in your life that He could never do in the peace and the quiet and the tranquility of perfection. But it's in that storm that He perfects things in your life. Things He accomplishes in you that nothing else could have accomplished. And God has a way of using those things for His glory. I remember back to a time in my life when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, and God had dealt with me about going into the ministry, and I didn't really want to. I struggled with it. And the reason I struggled with it was because of some fears I had. I was raised in a pastor's home. I you know, my dad and mom did, you know, they pastored several different churches, and God blessed them. They saw great things. But I also saw the bad side, the difficult side. I saw people treat them terrible. I saw them go through tough financial times. You know, there's things that I won't share with you, but it marked my mind, and I thought, man, I don't want to have to go through what they went through. I don't want to have to go through that again because I've been there before. And I found myself afraid of failure, afraid of difficulty. You know, besides the difficulty they face, I would say, I can't preach. I can't do that. That's not me. I will never accomplish anything in that. That's not going to happen. And so I was terrified. I went through a space, I would say at least 6 months, where I'd wake up every morning just kind of afraid. I was fearful. I was like, God, you know, how in the world are you asking me to do this? I can't do this. I'm going to fail, and I'm going to face all those tough stuff that mom and dad face. I just don't want to do that. I can't do this. I can't make it. I was just nervous and on edge, and I was just upset and kind of discouraged. And it was a hard time in my life. But what I remember is God used some people in my life, along with a lot of prayer and the Word of God, to ask me what Jesus asked these disciples. Andrew, why are you so afraid? Don't you have any faith? In other words, Andrew, why are you afraid? Haven't you seen that even when your parents went through that, I made a way? Don't you remember that when that took place, yes, it was hard, but I was right there in the boat with you? Andrew, don't you remember when that happened and you know, you didn't see how it was possible, how that I made a way? It may have been hard, but I never left you, and I never forsook you. And in that moment, I remember in that time in my life, all of a sudden, faith kind of flooding my heart. It reminds me of how the Word of God shows us over and over again that the God that's done it before, He can do it again. He can make a way for you. And today, I believe there's some of you, you find yourself at a place, in a storm in your life. Maybe you're doing what God has asked you to do. You're stepping out in faith. You're seeing things happen that are good. You're changing because God has asked you to. You're following Him in a new way, in a powerful way. But all of a sudden, something hits you. Maybe it's because you're following Him that it happens. Maybe it has nothing to do with anything you've done. But it just hits you right in a tough place. And you find yourself wondering, God, where are you? Don't you see where we're at? Don't you care that I'm about to perish here? This is about to finish me off. Do you even care? Maybe it causes you to question and ask those things of God. But here's something that I believe that God has really placed in my heart and He wants to put in yours as well. Our faith cannot be in our circumstances. Our faith cannot be in a bank account or in our ability. It's got to be in the man that's on the boat with you. It's got to be in the God who's in the middle of the storm with you. What we do a lot of times is we put our faith in what we got. Yeah, I believe God as long as I got this much money in the bank. Yeah, I believe God as long as I feel this way. Yeah, I trust God as long as nobody's pushing back against me. Nobody's upset with me. Yeah, I believe God. But I want you to know your faith cannot be in your circumstance. It cannot be in your resources or your ability. It has to be in the man or the God that is in the boat with you. In the scripture, we find something else interesting. When the storm came, when they went and they found Jesus sleeping in the bottom of the boat, what did they call him? He said, teacher or master. You look at the word that they used, you find out they knew Jesus as a teacher. He was their rabbi, their master, as they would call it. They saw Jesus as one who could give good advice. Now, Jesus is a counselor. He's all those things, and we're discussing that in the series. But what Jesus wanted them to recognize is he wasn't only a teacher. He was their Lord and Master in a powerful way like they had never seen before. He wanted to take them from a place of just recognizing him as someone who had good advice to someone who was able to change their situation. They said, teacher, we're going to drown. You know, we're going to sink. This is over. This is finished. But notice what Jesus does next. He gets up. And what does he do? He rebukes the wind and the waves and the sea. Wonder how that went down, you know. Wind, stop it. You know, what did Jesus say? Now waves, cut it out. This is enough. I'm tired of you causing all these troubles. It's like getting onto your kids, right? Get back in your room. I don't know how rebuking the waves and the wind went down, but Jesus did it anyhow. And when he did it, they listened. Your kids listened to you. We'll have to do a parenting series here in a little bit. Son, get back in your room. The third time, maybe, they listened. But when Jesus spoke, soon as he gave the word, what happened? The waves ceased and the wind stopped. Isn't that pretty cool? Would you like to be able to go outside and you want to go out on the lake and it's raining and say, wind, rain, stop. I got something to do today. It's time for you just to cut it out, you know. Well, Jesus could do that. He did that. And in that moment, he spoke to the storm. And the disciples, it said, what's it say? It said they were afraid, they were fearful, or fear gripped their hearts and said, hey, who is this that can speak to the winds and the waves and they have to obey him? Who is this? And what you find is in the middle of the storm, God wanted to take their awful circumstance and turn it into an awe of his presence. There may be times in your life where things are awful, but if you'll let the Master speak into your storm, he can show you his greatness and his power. He wants to take your fear of your situation, your fear of this difficulty, and turn it into an awe of who he is. Instead of just looking at him as a good teacher, to once and for all recognize he is God and he's able to do things that I cannot do. And he's able to speak the things that I cannot speak to. He's able to change things that the doctor can't do anything about. My counselor I go to can't do anything about. But he can in a moment speak and it ends. You know, sometimes he calms us. He doesn't calm our storms. Other times he speaks to that sickness and says, Get gone. I rebuke you. Leave that person alone. He speaks to that problem and he provides an opportunity. He comes along and he shows himself strong in the middle of your storm. And I believe today what happens is a lot of times when we face the storm, we see it as God failing us. When really, he wants to show us that it's an opportunity for him to show himself to us like he hasn't ever before. In the middle of your storm, remember that Jesus is with you, that his presence is with you on the boat, but also recognize that he has a purpose for that problem you're in. And he wants to show himself to you like he has never before. Instead of giving up and saying, God, where are you? God, why did you let that happen? God, I'm trying to live for you. Why do they have to treat me that way? Say, God, do something in this that everyone around me can look at and say, hey, that was God. That storm makes them wonder how you make it. Let it be that your life screams out loud. It's because he is in the boat with me. What we see going on in our world today is chaos everywhere. People are not satisfied. They're looking for something. That's why you have so many, You know, marriage is being torn apart because they're not happy. They think another person will make that happen. Maybe that's why there's so much drug use, because they're trying to find something that will satisfy. That's why they, you know, go to extremes and they get all these tattoos and piercings and you can't even see the person anymore. It's not that, you know, it's just fun. It's because they're trying to find something that will satisfy. They're trying to find a group of people or an activity or something that will numb the pain, or a person that will make them happy. They're looking for those things. And when they see you in the middle of the storm and you have peace and you have joy and you have hope, they're like, hey, I've got all this going for me and I'm miserable. They're facing that. And they've got a smile on their face. I've got this job. They got laid off. And they're the one encouraging me. You know, I've got this relationship going. They seem like they've lost everything. But there's something about them. I just want to be around them. I want what they got. And what God has really been showing me lately is, as a church, it's time for us to see the difficulty of our day as an opportunity or a platform for God to show himself to this generation. Instead of, you know, saying, hey, this is a shipwreck, this is finished, this is over, I don't see any hope. We can say, hey, wait, this may be a bad time, but this is God's time, and he can do something about it. You remember that boat that Jesus was using to preach from? It was, you know, it was a great opportunity for him to speak to the crowd, but the storm was even a greater opportunity for him to show himself to those disciples. And it was also a greater opportunity for God to do a work in them. That when he went away, they changed their world because they had an encounter with God in the middle of a storm that should have destroyed them. But because Jesus was in the boat with them and they allowed him to fulfill his purpose in their storm, they became men that changed the world. You say, Pastor, I am going through something tough. This storm is bigger than I can handle. Yeah, it is. But it's not too big for him. We talked about in that series, and God never said that. One thing we left with you in one of those sermons was, never allow the presence of a storm in your life to cause you to doubt the presence of God. But recognize it's an opportunity for him to show himself to you. Don't give up. Wake up the master. Don't give up. Let God speak to you and speak into your life, speak to your storm, and use what you go through to give glory to him. He has a purpose in the middle of your storm.